Welcome to the In The Tank podcast. Get ready for an hour of hot 40K goodness coming in your ears. You're in the tank now, baby.
We're live!
We are indeed live! How you doing there, buddy?
I'm great, mate. How are you?
Yeah, good. I'm good. Just as complete transparency to our audience, we were having a few, like, just before today, so hopefully we'll have a good episode.
Yeah.
How's life been, mate? Are you feeling these autumnal seasonings?
I love it, mate. Yeah, I'm all about autumn, as we discussed last week. How about yourself?
I'm feeling good, man. I'm feeling really, really cool.
Good.
Loving life at the moment. Hobbies going good. Yeah, cracking on with stuff. Has there been anything that you've been looking at this week doing?
I'm still working.
Kicking your ass a little bit, quite frankly.
Still working on these bad boys. As you can see, I've made a whole load of progress. It's just a man in a chair currently. A couple of Doomsday Arts on the way out. So yeah, they'll hopefully be done in the next sort of 4 years.
Gonna be a dad.
Yeah, exactly. What about yourself? Have you been building or painting?
Oh, dude, no, I am still going with the old jump pack and scissors.
Fucking hell, you've been doing them for about a month.
I reckon give it another week and they'll be done. Like,
yeah.
And like fully done. I mean, like transfers.
This is such dad hammer.
Weathering. Like,
what have you done this week? I did one transfer.
No, so I reckon that, but I mean, they're looking fucking great. I genuinely think they're like, yeah. Ooh, yes. Because the annoying thing, though, is I've only done five, right?
So yeah, I've got those got five more to do.
Yeah, yeah. So what I'm going to treat myself. Treat yourself. I'm going to do those, then five Deathwing Knights, then the other five of those.
That's
then
the way
the
to
other
do it.
Five Deathwing Knights, and then I'm ready for our tournament. So
yeah, break that
I'm
up,
on
baby.
Track, to be fair.
Good.
I'm like monitoring the months, and I'm on track to do it.
Lovely.
I've also got an awesome product recommendation for you right off the bat.
Oh, go on.
And you will love the name of this, because I do. I think this is the best product that I've bought in ages. the original B&J, BJ, the Master's Brush Cleaner.
Oh, I've got some of that. It's
my
so good,
fucking
mate.
God, I have never got this before.
Yeah.
That strips the paint from my ferrules like nothing I've ever known. and smells like lemon. It smells like a little bit lemony.
That sounds like a euphemism. Oh, she strips the paint from my ferrules, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, that's a proper cultured pickup line. But yeah, isn't that awesome?
It is awesome. It's really good stuff. It's actually, here's a little tip for you as someone who's been stripping their ferrules for a long time with it. If you've got like a particularly grubby brush, and especially one that you're not going to use for a little while, when you've cleaned it, just get a bit more on there and just leave it in there. Leave it in the brush.
Yeah, yeah.
And
I
then
do that.
when you come to use it next time, rinse it back out again, because it like conditions the brush. It's really nice.
Yeah. Obviously,
nice and smooth.
Smooth. Conditioner is the way forward. I mean, look at me, for God's sake.
You are literally an advert for conditioner.
Mate, literally, the amount of fucking conditioner my house goes through is ridiculous. Like, my God, I genuinely use way more than Mel does. But yeah, like, it's wicked. Especially if you've got more expensive brushes or you're looking at getting some more expensive brushes, like, it really helps. But then, you know, the cost of constant buying brushes does mount up, and
it does.
That,
yeah,
it looks like that thing's gonna last me forever. So,
and who doesn't love a good B&J, right? You know,
exactly.
God, I can't get my fucking microphone in the right place this morning. I'm like, how do I like fucking tussle with the bloody thing?
you're having a morning, aren't you?
We both are. Just also, to let you guys know, we are recording this a couple of days earlier than we normally do, just because I'm going on holiday tomorrow morning at like stonkers early, and that's how much we love you all. We're making the effort to not miss a week, so that you may hear a screaming child in the background of my audio, which I apologise for. He's not normally here when I record, so if you do hear that, that's why.
Fair
just
news.
Caveat that. Yeah.
And also, you had a stag do at the weekend, right? So the fact that you're standing right now is kind
of... I am a little worse for wear this morning, I won't lie. I'm okay. I'm recovering. You don't recover like you do in your 20s once you sort of get to your mid-30s anymore.
Mate, if I party these days, I am out for 2 days. Mm. I'm like all withered and like...
I'm not surprised.
Like, kill me.
I feel like that most days, to be honest with you.
There you go. Just to bring it quickly back to the hobby. Look what arrived as well. Oh, my yeah. God. It's only, like, the best mini that no one can buy anymore. Like,
yeah. Or play.
Yeah, or play in a game of standard 40K. It's the Celestian Sacrosanct Aveline, or Aveline, or however you want to pronounce the name.
Awesome. Very cool.
One of my favourite models of all time. Already. Mm. One of my favourite models of all time. Stunning. Can't wait to make it. Going to be Maker this week. Although I've got to finish my jump pack intercessors, really. But hobby news. Any hobby news, like, in general? I don't think there's been any mega announcements from GW.
We had the most disappointing roadmap of all time.
Hell,
it felt like a sort of Northampton Council roadmap or something like that. I've been more excited to read one of those, to be honest with you. It was just like, we're doing fuck all for the rest of the year. And then next year we'll probably release some more armies.
But doesn't that, like, go against their original roadmap? Where
their,
like,
original roadmap was kick-ass. It had, like,
Thousand Suns
codexes laid out.
Yeah, but wasn't like Thousand Suns supposed to come out before the end of the year, and Knights and stuff, right? There was meant to be loads of shit.
Don't remember if they were, but regardless of that, like, it was still just, not great.
I have zero evidence for this theory, but I reckon it's all to do with their remanufacturing stuff going on. I think it's...
Well, you reckon they're remanufacturing their employees that make their graphics for them?
Of course not. No, as in, like, they're moving to, like, obviously, their factory or whatever, right?
So they need to delay it all.
Let me have my point, damn it. But, like, yeah, absolutely. So, like, I reckon it's that. I reckon they're just struggling to, like, with that very intense process, right? So, because I imagine that there was going to be at least two or three armies coming out before Christmas, but it looks like nothing's coming out until 2025.
No, which is a bit weird, right? Because there's a big old gap there.
I've got no issues about that because my armies already came out, so I don't give a fuck. But, like, you know, I feel quite bad for people that are still indexing. But also, if it gives us an extra lease of life in the edition and gives us a bit longer, which I doubt it will, to be fair, but I hope it does. I think editions should naturally last longer anyway. I give them, like, 4 or 5 years. Same as a presidential term.
We're kind of in that weird position now where it's like, you and I have had sort of early codexes, early edition codexes, which is nice, but not always a good thing because it kind of means that you miss the big old inevitable power jump in the middle of the edition, and then your codex becomes dog shit. But I think it's probably one up from like getting your codex 1 month before they change editions and index you. Like Guard got last time.
Yeah, to be honest though, the general vibe of 10th edition for codexes hasn't been power creep. It's actually almost been power stabilization.
It's been better this time around for sure. Like 9th edition was fucking shit show.
Oh, fuck that, man. Fuck that. Yeah. That was like the new hotness of the week, right? So I think they've, to be fair to GW, there's a lot to like, mate, you were having some issues over
fuck
your
off.
Way,
aren't
you?
I'm like...
I'm trying to like.
If you want to see my face,
like...
I can't talk into the microphone.
Yeah.
So, and I can't fight with it. Hang on, there we go. That's good. Right, anyway, shut
try
up.
Your eyes
carry on. I'm just going to fiddle with it all fucking episode.
All right, let's talk it. Yes, no, I do prefer what they're doing with 10th edition rather than 9th.
For sure. Yeah, it's been a lot better handled this time around.
Yeah, and also they've been really transparent with, like, nerfs and changing rules and stuff, right? Where the Dark Angel stuff wasn't great and they've made it a lot better and vice versa. And
they just need to...
hate nerfs and stuff.
They need to take a little bit of caffeine off of one of their their rule writers and give it to the other one to balance them out a bit, because one of them's like kicking ass writing really cool rules and the other one's like we'll just give them some like fluffy rules, you know, like maybe plus one to wound if there's one guy left in the squad.
I thought the Sisters Codex was the absolute dog's bollocks. Like, the Sisters Codex is my favourite codex so far.
It was great.
And Gene C. the Cult seems a bit like, and
it's okay. I think they're kind of hitting the thematics of each of the detachments, but they're just, the rules are a little bit like, you know, hit and miss here and there sometimes. So we'll see how it pans out as the edition changes.
Nice one.
Yeah. One other thing I wanted to quickly touch on, some exciting sort of personal news. I don't think we've actually discussed this on the channel before, but I am currently working on retrofitting an old barn into a battle barn, which I'm going to be using to record hobby games. Basically, games are like fun games of 40K, probably handheld to begin with, and then we're eventually going to get streaming set up in there as well. So basically, I'm building a studio to record Warhammer. And it's actually finally started work. We've actually started putting partitions in and building kitchens and stuff. So it's pretty kick-ass.
Okay, so just to let you guys know at home as well, like I, of course, have been privy to this information and respectfully not mentioned it throughout any of the episodes and stuff like that. Mate, your battle barn is basically a normal house for most people, like living in London or whatever.
It's like a small,
that fucking thing.
That like a two bed
thing
flat.
Is ginormous. It's absolutely massive. And
well,
I
one
have
bed
been
flat, actually.
Very impressed. I have been very impressed. And you know, I will be absolutely honoured to, you know, help you with that occasion.
We're going to be getting you in for some games. Don't you worry, sir. It's going to be great fun.
Good lads.
I can't wait. It's going to be a great excuse to just play a load of 40K, to be honest with you. With
so
my
does
mates,
that mean that you're actually going to play 40K as opposed to, you know, like...
Hey, look, fuck you. yes, son of a bitch. So we're basically... We've got the... the barn was just like a regular barn that we've... because it had like proper barn doors, we're having to seal a couple of those bad boys up.
It's
because it would
have
been Baltic in there otherwise. So we've partitioned off half the barn to use as the studio, and we've got internet in there now, which is amazing. And then the other half is going to be like the guts of the operation, where all the armies are stored, terrain, all that shit.
I'll be honest, I just want to put the request to live there, mate.
Yeah, you can
live
if you want.
The table,
like. I'll just go. Someone will come into the barn and be like, "So where are all the armies?" I'll be like, "Here's you got the Death Guard at the top here. That's Russ," and you'll be like, "Hey, mate," you'll be like in a really useful box, like. so it's gonna be good. It's really exciting that it's finally happening, to be honest with you, so I'm looking forward to getting that going.
I'm really happy for you, buddy, because I'm you know, I think you're gonna have a really great time with it and do some really cool projects, and I think the idea of like making the hobby fun is always good. Like
that's what I'm all about, right? You know, I've streamed with people before and it's always a great laugh and I enjoy that. And now I'm just too far away to do it with them. That's the only reason I'm not doing it. So it's just, I can't wait to get back into it, to be honest with you. Looking forward to it.
See, I must be honest, I haven't streamed, but I'm really looking forward to the concept of it, actually.
Yeah.
It's
great fun. It's amazing. Like, it's so much fun doing it live, and also doing pre-recorded stuff will be fun as well. Just like, you know, for those days where you can just come over for a sort of lazy Saturday afternoon and get a nice long 40K game in and just play some stuff. Because you know, you and I both play competitive 40K, and I'm sure there'll be a little bit of that on the channel here and there with like competitive lists. But the mainstay is just like beer hammer. You know, having a cracking game of 40K with your mates, basically. That's what I'm aiming for.
I need to see if we're still potentially doing a Dark Angels narrative campaign in it.
Oh, 100%. There will be a lot of narrative content on there as well. I think that's probably it. Like, narrative and fun are like the two mainstays. And we're going to try and do some like campaigns as well, where we do, you know, multiple games sort of following on from each other. And I've got some fun ideas of things to do with that that I'm not going to spoil now. So we'll see where it goes.
Brewing that, so that'd be really cool. That'd be really cool.
Very fun. Nice. So yeah, look out for that in the next sort of month, hopefully. Should be starting up. So exciting.
And indeed, and something else to look out for is us on all of our social media platforms.
14 minutes. So I think please. You were close to this last time. That's probably about
on
point.
I think it's good. And let's get people settled before I like
come on in, sit down.
At least let me buy them dinner first. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, everyone's like so eager to get that out of the way. And
the
like,
Russ's hand starts creeping down the small of your back.
Oh, don't say it like that. That's creepy.
Come with me, baby.
Look, you presume I'd be that way. Anyway.
You just go in and like turn all the Funko Pops around.
I bet they've seen some shit.
Yeah. So, probably need a good wipe, to be honest, with a couple of them.
Hey, come on, don't interrupt me. This is serious. Like, comment, subscribe, please. Anyone that saw our Space Marine video, let us know what you think, because it was kind of mad. Mm. Like, that video was crazy. Check us out on Instagram at InTheTank40K. We're gonna get up a bloody TikTok soon, which makes me feel geriatric. But like, it's all good. It's all good. Oh, those kids on that TikTok, man.
Yeah.
But like, you know, we'll do some shorts for TikToks. It's all cool. Like, we'll get everything sorted. It's all cool.
Oh, it's gonna be great.
So we need to crack.
Yeah, do give us a like. Just subscribe is the main thing. If you want to see more of us, just subscribe, because then at least we'll turn up in your feed. I think that's a good thing.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
And the likes help and comments
click
as well.
Click my bell.
Click my bell.
Click my big old bell. So So now that we've spent 15 minutes sorting your mic out, mate, we might as well actually discuss like topics.
Try not
now,
to touch it
we?
Again. Yeah.
don't touch it.
Look, it's on a suspended arm, so hopefully, you know, I'm not like you when I touch it, it's just like. Blah, 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 blah. So,
hey, man, I haven't touched it so far, so it's all good.
Good. Fine. Hands off.
So, this is an interesting topic because I recently have been really enjoying some of the more creative sculpts from GW, mainly the Vespid, where I'm like, wowzers, man. Like, they're fantastic. But.
Yeah.
It made me reflect, comparing like two recent like Warhammer previews was the whole concept of like design by committee across all of their IPs, both in terms of like the lore and also in terms of sculpting and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And my question that I want to put to you, Ed, just to start off today, is does GW need to actually stop playing safe in terms of, you know, their modeling and stuff and take more risks in terms of their design and in terms of like lore or possibly even mechanics for like their rule systems and stuff? Like, does it feel a little bit now that GW become so big in terms of like their, you know, network that now they have to feel like everything has to go through like 12 people before it gets to.
I definitely think there is more of that. I do know that they've got some incredible miniature designers. I think Darren Latham designs quite a lot of their minis. And I know that he used to have a YouTube channel, which I loved, with loads of painting tutorials and stuff.
Yes.
And I definitely didn't download his entire YouTube channel before it was deleted. So, you know. But anyway.
Oh, what happened there? Sorry.
I think that basically because he works for Games Workshop still, and they kind of don't want their creatives having their own channels, from what I understand. So they basically sort of said, like, if you want to keep working.
Was that like the Warhammer Plus scouring, so to speak?
Yeah, right? I think so. Yeah, quite a lot of people fell to that, which was a shame.
GW, you need to stop that. Credit
I know,
your people
they do,
and let people... Because honestly, it's all going to go into the melting pot. I know you potentially want to stop this whole cult of personality thing happening, which kind of what happened with like Peachy and Duncan and Suggs now, and to some degree Hattie, right? Where it's like, no, don't leave us. You can't have influence outside of our sphere. And it's like... pay them and give them respect and let them have a social media
because they'd all still be there, right, if they'd been respected and paid properly.
So ridiculous
probably
anyway.
But
a lot of great sculptors.
Some incredible sculptors, and I think he did Bellacor, he did a lot of the Gene Steel cult stuff. He's done loads of things. Look at Bellacor. He's just an absolute stonker of a model. Such a great centerpiece. Like some of their, you know, recent stuff, and I mean recent as in the last sort of 5 years or so, has been incredible. But there are a few which I'm looking at, especially in the Marine range, I think, where they're playing it very safe. Stuff like the Sanguard, which we touched on previously. and even like Astaroth and the Sanguinor. Those kind of were just like HD versions of their original models with a few very tiny differences.
The Sanguinor, I think Astaroth deserved to almost have his sculpt almost identical because that was
such a cool looking
sculpt.
You can't really beat that.
Sanguinor, like I really wanted them to go balls to the wall with the Sanguinor, where it's like make him really sanguineous-y and ghosty and like, you know, go fucking mad, like. You know, he's a bit supernatural. Kind of make him look like that. He just looks like a generic sort of space marine now.
I don't like his T-pose. I think what they should have done. Yeah, what they should have done is have him like coming down with like, you know, like if you imagine in your head like a sort of angel in like a ferocious attacking descent, like with the sword coming down as if he's about to motherfucking like impale some bitch down there.
That's what I would have had him going. Very much like the Sanguinius sculpt from 30K, right? Where he's like doing the downward sort of strike.
That sort of strike. That's where I would have kind of gone with it, I think. And you don't have to, like, it would have been cool to do... the version, you know how they did with the Emperor's Champion alternate sculpt where he's got this like, he's just like stabbing an orc. You could have done something cool like that, which would have been fun. But obviously, you know, just having him in that kind of pose would have been a bit more interesting and dynamic. I get like the angelic kind of like, oh, you know, I'm the Sanguinor. But like for me, what he does in the game is he comes down out of the motherfucking nowhere and just is like,
just
eat this dick. And then just, that's kind of where,
eat this dick.
Unzips.
Dude, so, no, I, Yeah, I mean, yeah, I agree with all your points there. And I've noticed it more weirdly with the Blood Angel sculpts than any others recently, yeah. Right? I think there was a couple that made me go like, eh. And like some of the stuff from like the Leviathan box as well,
yeah.
So, similar kind of vibes, right? Where it's just like, really? And it wouldn't be so bad if you didn't then compare it to like the other IPs that GW have. So like
that's the problem.
Sigma,
that's where it starts.
I think this is it. I think if it was just left in
its not state, just Sigma. Necromunda is fucking blazing it lately.
Yeah,
like those Gene Stealers. I can't remember what they're called. They're a funky name for them. But those like those twisted up sort of polluted Gene Stealer guys are just like look at them and they're fucking cool as shit. And then you look at stuff in 40K and you're like, oh, we've taken the nipples off the Sand Guard and given them tiny.
Yeah, the Sand Guard are just terrible. Like yeah, and also Blood Bowl and Old World. There's been some great Old World sculpts as well. Where you're like,
it has been.
Wow, that's great.
Like the one that people have been bringing up lately is that massive horned rat model for the Skaven. You know the one
so
that
metal.
Came out recently? Oh, I don't know if it's out, but that
so
one.
Metal.
It's so cool and so detailed. Cool. And like you look at that and you think, fuck, that's such an amazing model. Not just to paint, but to have on the table as a centerpiece. And then you look at some of the stuff we've been getting in 40K and it just is a little bit flat. They could, and also the poses maybe are all a little bit generic, you know.
Yeah, I think what they're trying to do now at the moment as well is stay away from flying bases, thank Christ. Like,
yeah, no, that's a good move.
I think they finally got the message that flying bases are a fucking terrible idea, and as a result they're trying to make alternative, like the jump pack intercessors are classic, right, where they're all jumping off tactical rocks. But to be honest, from a modeling perspective, although
I'd rather
a little bit weird. That than like have fucking awful flying stands.
Those little ones that come up like that and sort of go into the back of the jump packs are just awful. Like they need to be got rid of completely because none of them
work.
They've got them on the what are they called? The little big fat bumblebee space marines. Inceptors. And I've got some of those 3D printed smoke trails that you can glue. And obviously they sort of make the model a bit bigger, but they're so much fucking sturdier and they look much better. So something like that in future would be cool.
As a marine player, I just use magnets.
Yeah, that also works. One thing I would say about this whole like rock flying thing is there are some examples of when it just looks weird and they should do it slightly better. Like Kotiaz's eagle. Like it's an eagle. It can be perched on a rock. It doesn't need to be flying with the rock in its chest. That's a shit eagle. It's missed and hit a rock, basically.
So Kotiaz is another classic example, right? Where it feels like that model was, again, a committee model where someone might have started that sculpt, made something, and then someone go, actually, you'd want to change that. And actually, you need to change that. And actually,
there's
we want
so
you to add
that.
And then by the time it gets to the end, the original, I don't think that's one person sculpting that. And if it is, they've had interference because there's some weird, there's some really weird elements about that that don't like fit in terms of
maybe they don't design by committee. Maybe they're just telling their designers, they're being very rigid with what they're asking them to make. And you know, they're just saying, play it safe, make it true to the original. And they're not giving them much creative freedom maybe, but whatever it is, you know, we don't know the behind the scenes, but they need to be a bit more adventurous, I think. And
just to be
more
completely
risk.
Balanced about this though, just to kind of like swing that the other way. What I have noticed in regards to that is anything that's like non-Space Marine is just outrageous. Like, again, the Vespid thing, amazing.
Vespid's cool.
Some of the sister stuff, amazing. The Gene Sealer cult stuff, amazing.
Oh, yeah.
There's some fucking amazing sculpts for 40k out there. It isn't just like 40k.
Even some of the Necron stuff, right? Like the Void Dragon. What a fucking model.
And also, like, I can't really complain because I felt like I had all of my Christmases combined this year with, like, all of the Dark Angels updated stuff. And as
In
far
a circle.
As I'm concerned, so good. They whoever was working on that project kind of understood, like, the
they
narrative,
nailed that.
Right?
Yeah.
Which was, like, moody boys, cloaks,
Charles
big old
Dance.
Swords, Charles Dance. even the Deathwing Knights, I was like, oh yeah, get in. I have 15.
They're
of those,
meaty boys.
Shall I take my money? I have those. Yeah. Thank you very much. And I bought more of those when they weren't even very good because I was setting myself up for victory. You see, but like, yeah, no, love the Dark Angel stuff. That was great. And just to counterpoint the sort of like design by committee thing, I think there was one classic example, and Peachy commented on this, how that might not have been the case, or it was so over-designed that people couldn't see their head from their ass, which is, of course, the meme that I love these models personally, but they are the Desolation Marines, right?
Oh, and yeah, how the t-shirt Peachy launches.
Peachy said, and I quote him on the Jugs podcast, that like if he would have been working there, those fuckers would have never came out. Or at least he would have been like, what the fuck are you doing? Like,
yeah.
No. And I think something, one of two radical different things happened there. Either no one was like sensitive to that coming out, or it was so redefined. Where it's like, put another gun on there, put another gun on there, put this on there.
It was like, remember that bit in The Mask when he like pulls out the big guns and he's like, shh. It was kind of that sort of level of silliness, wasn't it?
Now, I'll be honest, like controversially, I fucking love the Desolation Marines.
I know you do.
I love them.
Played against the bloody things.
And for me, yes, I know, I remember. And for me, I miss them. I genuinely miss them. Absolutely love how grim derp they are. They're so unbelievably grim derp. Yeah. They have like a Gatling missile launcher, which is it's so ridiculous. Fucking stupid.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is what it is.
So,
but also, yeah,
the
on.
Narrative side of the
yes,
of 40K.
I was gonna be able to
that. Yeah, I think that is interesting because I think, as we've sort of touched on previously again, I think they've been like wrapping up some narratives recently. You know, we've had the end and the death.
Yes.
We've had like, you know, some long chains of narrative that have been wrapped up. And I do think we're starting to progress now to a point where they're kind of going to have to really start moving the lore forwards in terms of, you know, either just going back and doing some oh shit, did you know this happened? Kind of like filling in some of the gaps of the cool stuff that they've got. Because there's loads of like massive gaps in the lore that of characters that have either just disappeared and we don't know where the fuck they are, or that, you know, could come back into it. People like Russ, you know, we talked about this previously. So I think that they've got to start doing some really fun shit and moving it forwards and like making some, and I'm sure that they'll probably marry this up with new additions and all kinds of stuff down the line. So that's where my head is with the narrative. I don't know about you.
Yes, I feel we'll discuss this on another video at great length of like what we predict plot-wise in the future and what we do as writers in the future, if that makes sense, being pretentious ourselves. But like, in terms of, I think they need a short-term plan, which is to get through the current edition, and they need a long-term plan of some of the plot elements that they need to think about in the next, like, next edition and and where they want to get the plot in the next decade, right?
Yeah.
And I know that, like, in a way, GW is a bit Marvel-esque where they don't want to change things too far in order to kind of keep the sort of stabilization of, like, factions and stuff. But to their credit, within the last decade, there's been some actually quite monumental lore changes, which was like the introduction of the Primaris, like Kadia going, everything that happened with Yavrain coming and potentially like stirring up the Eldar stuff. And I'm kind of thinking like a lot of some of those plots still kind of need to be resolved. Like Yavrain needs to be sorted, really. Like she needs to have some cool moments. The Eldar in general need to have their moment in the sun, I think, to be fair. Obviously, you know, we have another loyalist Primarch knocking around, and you know, there needs to be some repercussions of that, like, and having some Primarchs in the room together, having more Primarchs enter the equation, right? Like, does Chaos have a plan going forward, right? Like, you know, there's some potential talks about the Arcs of Omen being like time machines and stuff, and that could like open up fucking loads of shit. Imagine going back in time and saving Sanguinius.
Yeah. Very cool.
Right?
That would be very, very cool.
Right?
And like, you know, you can go back in time. There is a certain Chronomancer knocking about. But, well, you know, there's some ways.
You know, there's some fucking gnarly places that we could go. But I think, again, some of the best models that we've ever had and some of the coolest, like, plot things have been quite dangerous in terms of, like, repercussions for the future. So I think GW needs to, like, let go a bit and just kind of go down that road again and kind of go a little bit mad and see. I'd much rather that and possibly piss off some people than, like, stagnate like
and
the
then,
Imperium is, you know?
Like, moving into the rules side of it, I think that they're actually doing a pretty good job on the whole, as we touched on earlier, this episode, in terms of actually keeping the game relatively well-balanced. Excuse me. So, you know, we have had a couple of little power spikes, especially early in the edition, that they've sorted out, you know, Eldar and all that sort of stuff. So they are dealing with things quite well. I do think, as we also said, you know, trying not to make one shit codex, one amazing codex, that kind of, you know, balance needs to be sort of brought up a little bit, just so that people aren't left feeling bad.
To be honest, the rules... I don't mind that so much if they continue to do the updates that they do.
Yeah.
Like, well, I've never seen an edition that has been supported so much in real time as it's, like, happening, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And that's great. More of that, please. That's fucking awesome, please. Like, let's have that constant. It's a weird one.
Because I think there's two crowds for this. Like, I hear this from the super casual, because I know quite a lot of people who just play this really casually, and they just love the fluff, the lore, the models, etc. And they don't play a huge amount of the game. And one of the reasons for that is because whenever they go to play the game, the rules have changed so much because of updates, competitive updates, etc., that they feel like they just can't keep up. And that can be detrimental to some players, obviously, who don't get to play the game a huge amount. But on the other side of it, for those of us that play it competitively, I think it's fucking great. You know, I'd rather it be continuously moving forwards and sort of shaking the meta up, because otherwise you just get that stagnation. So you can't keep everyone happy. But
no, you can't.
I do,
but
like,
I know how you do it, and you make that fucking codex free. So your casual player, all they need to do is just log in.
Yeah.
Still charge Warhammer Plus. Like, if you want to do that road, make Warhammer Plus your entry to all of the living dexes that are currently on the stack.
I still think it's ridiculous that you don't get access to all the codex codes on the app for your Warhammer subscription or Plus subscription. They could, like we said, you could put the price up and people would probably still pay, like, you know, maybe a tenner a month or something. That's like 120 quid a year or something like that. Which I think is about twice what it costs for just Warhammer Plus, maybe, I don't know, or something like that. But I'd still pay that if I got access to everything, because there's nothing more fucking annoying than me, for example, who will at some point play Imperial Knights next year when their codex comes out. I also need to buy the Imperial Agents codex, which is basically toilet paper, because I want to see what my assassins do.
So, I'm going to be greedy. I think the amount of money that GW are making, and the fact that codexes actually sell models weirdly, in my opinion, like, in terms of, like, for me, that's bonus income that they're getting from codexes, really. And make limited edition ones, make 1,000 of them, they'll sell out. And essentially, just make them free. Just fuck off. Just make them free.
I don't have an issue with them releasing.
It's the same hobby budget that they'd be spending on codexes as what they'd be spending on models. You won't have to print as much. You won't have to store as much in your warehouse.
Yep.
Get over it. Keep Warhammer Press the same. Just keep it the same.
They must make a considerable amount of money off of codexes, right? Because people need them, and they update them every couple of years or whatever it is. So I get that, but then there has to be a way of rolling that into the app somehow, making a little bit more, or just getting it to a kind of the same level as what you're making with the prints. And they could probably still print the fucking codexes, but just take all the rules out of them, or, like, you know, put the rules in but not the points or whatever it is, because those points in the codexes are the most arbitrary, wanky thing ever. They're instantly corrected the second the book drops, so I never understand why they're even in there. Waste of time.
I'm just so on that train of just making the codexes free that I just don't understand. There's, like, no argument I don't think that anyone could present for me that would make, like, even the monetary thing, because it's like, if you've got a hobby budget every month, right, you're going to be using that hobby budget on the hobby, right? And you're going to be overextending necessarily, unless you have no willpower or whatever, right? Which, you know, it's fair. But, like, you're going to be spending that money on models or whatever regardless.
Yeah.
And like I say, you're more likely to spend probably more money on models because you want to try that new rule set that now is free and you go, actually, I fancy doing that, rather than feeling like you're spending 30 quid before you even begin. You know, that's a box of troops, man. That's your basic battle line unit that you've then gone, actually, I'm going to dip my toes into and get that. And it's completely stupid.
And there's a reason why places like Wahapedia and everything exist, and Battlescribe and all these other places.
You can get access to it. It's just like, goddamn, just like, it's the music industry vibe of just, like, holding on too tightly and not, like, understanding how the new world works. And just, you know, we've discussed that with 3D printing as well, where it's just like, just adapt, man. Adapt,
I know they need to protect their IP. I get that.
But there has
to be, you know, actually, weirdly, you're kind of protecting your IP better if you're the one holding all the cards. If you make the app better, then people will fucking pay for it.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. And then there's no need for like competitors, right?
So you've got two customers waiting right here in this bloody podcast. Well, you know, we'd instantly subscribe if we got all the codex.
Well, you'd be models, a Jukari player, and I would be a Wordbearers player as well.
Exactly. So, like, you know, that's another really useful box full of models, Games Workshop. That's like 500 quid for you right there. So
done.
Yeah.
But yeah, there we go. So that's cool. So we'll move on to our next subject, if that's okay. I think we're finished on that, because that sounded like a natural kind of thing. Let us know what you think about that.
Yeah,
like,
please do.
Please do. The Codex thing is I'm quite passionate about, but then I would be, but it's all cool. So this one is quite a dear subject to my heart, because I have expressed dislike of certain chapters / legions on the channel before, and I actually have given these guys a bit of a scot-free kind of full reign, and actually I dislike these guys the most. Like, this is so I'm just gonna put my big old opinion dick on the table and be like, I dislike the Ultramarines the most in terms of like legions / chapters in the entirety of 40k lore. I fucking hate them. But is the hatred of Ultramarines justified? Is it fair? Mm. Like, is it actually something that over the years it's been a perpetual kind of thing? Or are they very much deserving of all of the community venom that they have been party to?
My question to you is, how often do you think of the Holy Roman Empire?
Every day.
Exactly. Clearly Games Workshop does too, because they're their poster boys.
Touche. You know? I generally do. Like, when that became a thing, and I know it became,
you were like shit.
Quite a right-wing grifter thing, where it's like, oh, the hard times produce soft men and soft men produce hard times and all that fucking nonsense. Don't sip that fucking Kool-Aid, everyone. but like, it's so fucking stupid. But like, and part of that was like the concept of like, the Empire of Rome, right? But weirdly, I do think about Rome a lot. Like, it's really fucking weird. I'm like, oh shit, like, actually I do, like,
you see
weird.
I actually think that Games Workshop are kind of missing a beat here, right? I think the Ultramarines have been painted a little bit too goody two shoes.
Oh yeah.
And I think that if you go back in time and look at the Holy Roman Empire, which is kind of what they're based upon and all that sort of shit, right? They were badasses, right? They were incredible, and they conquered fucking a huge swathe of Europe and, you know, the world effectively at that point. So you've got to look at this and you think, okay, so if you're basing this chapter on this incredible set of people, they weren't all goody-two-shoes. There was a lot of fuckery and backstabbery and just downright savagery going on with the Holy Roman Empire. Sure,
quote. That's a great quote. That's like the quote of a back of a book, isn't it? It's like, the savagery of the Holy Roman Empire. Well, the Roman Empire, because I'm getting confused with the Holy Roman Empire, because that came out.
Yeah, because that's just the Vatican, right? But I'm just meaning.
They're the pussies of the Roman.
But yeah, I think that they could... I've seen some grim, dark paint schemes of the Ultramarines, and I think that they should start leaning a bit more towards that kind of, you know, aesthetic with them a little bit, and being less just our boys in, or, you know, our little good boys in blue, and you've got Guilliman going, "Ooh, I'll put everything to rights, don't worry," for the Emperor.
Why aren't they like gladiators, right?
Yeah,
sort of like kind of a bit PTSD sort of gladiator close combat fanatics, right? Where, you know, and I know it's not very ultramarine-y because you're letting go of your like inhibitions and like almost borderline world eaters-y, because that's obviously the origin of Angron, right? Maybe not as extreme, obviously, and minus the whole butcher's nails thing, but make them very sort of like, sort of almost monk-like, where they're just like fucking warrior gladiators, and they're just like gnarly with like robes and stuff. Like, there's a lot of design space you can use. And don't get me wrong, there is some explored in the Ultramarines. I'm not going to say there's not.
There's loads
of those centurion-style helmet vibes and stuff like that, right? But I think my biggest issue with the Ultramarines was like a combination of like when they moved to center stage, right? And a lot of people consider like Matt Ward to be like the person that kind of was responsible for doing a lot of damage here. And after doing some research into it, I can also probably relate to that. One thing I will say, don't fucking give Matt Ward death threats, for fuck's sake, concerning your, like,
people need to chill out. Don't give anyone death threats.
My God, like, what is wrong with you? Like, stop. Like, goddamn. But by that same token, right, like, to be completely balanced, like, some of the shit that came out law-wise around that time period was just so ridiculous. And, like, I was a bit gutted for the Blood Angels at one point, right? Well, technically the Templars. I think what should have happened with, like, 40k front covers was just explore a different chapter slash legion every edition, right?
That'd be really cool. I was actually thinking that same thing.
Time in the great. Because, like, first edition was Crimson Rogue Trader was Crimson Fists, right? Of all fucking things. Like, okay, fine, cool, awesome.
Don't you diss my boys.
No, you've got a chub on for Cantor.
I do.
You?
I'm wearing their colours today.
Cantor. and then you had Blood Angels on that iconic and my personal favourite cover of second ed, right? Then you had Templars on the third. And then it just seemed to go... Ultramarines. And I'm like... And I guess, you know, maybe they did a bit of, like, market where it's like, well, we are predominantly, like, young men like the colour blue and blah. Do you know what I mean?
We're receiving, like, reports that everyone thinks about the Roman Empire.
So let's go. Like, let's print it. But, like, I just find it a bit sad. And also, from a lore perspective, fuck Gilliman so hard. Like, so many Primarchs, like, wear their humanity, considering that they're demigods, on their sleeves profoundly, right? Even my favourite Primarch, Lionel Johnson, for all intensive purposes during the time in the Heresy, he went from, at the best of times, being one of the most capable Primarchs and trustworthy and ironically loyal Primarchs who would get the job done no matter what, right? Even if that meant eradicating entire systems, to being, on the flip side of that, a fucking dick that was unable to express his emotions and, you know, was borderline kind of a bit spectrumy with his ability to communicate with people around him, right? Where he just couldn't do it because of his childhood on Caliban and stuff. And to me, Gilliman, just all those edges on both sides are completely rounded off. And you just have this sort of Paragon-esque figure that the coolest we ever saw Gilliman in the lore was during the Horus Heresy when Kalth got wrecked, right? And he went full on Hulk mode on Wordbearer, sorry, and like lost it. And even then, as his whole fleet is getting fired upon by Lore Guy, he's like, hold on, I'm not sure what's going on. And it's like, we need data to understand what's going on here. And I'm just like, dude, like, come on.
You,
like,
see,
get out of your tank head for, like, two seconds.
I think there's a really, really easy fix for this, narratively, right? And I think that they could make Gilliman such a fucking interesting and cool character, right? You've got this goody-two-shoes-esque guy who's all obsessed with the data. You know, he's always trying to do everything perfectly, and he is like that big perfectionist, and he just wants everything to be, you know, all those little planets, he wants them to be in the green, right? I want something to push him so far that he just fucking loses it, snaps, but, like, fully snaps this time.
And he just goes,
right, fuck you, and just goes mental and just throws all his power at it. Goes almost like Black Templar levels of, like, I'm just going to fucking crusade you to shit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I love that.
I want
idea.
Him to get reckless.
That's a great idea.
He needs to get
reckless. Yeah.
That's the word. Yeah. Right?
I think because, like, his whole design from the Emperor, right, was like, you know, for want of a better word, like, just a mathematician, right? And it's just like,
pretty much.
When he's just there with statistics and, you know, he makes the right call at the right time. And, you know, that's underselling it because he's in his Primarch intellect doing, like, millions of risk assessments and things every second or whatever, better than any AI that could even be fathomed, right?
Yeah.
But it's so limited in scope and, like, you don't get that other swing of him, like, losing his mind. I'm just like, just take McCrag out or like Ultramar or something. Like, have them take a massive
hit. Just make him lose it.
I don't know. Like, you know, the word bearers have the biggest, like, army in the old Warpo. Just have them spill out into real space after the Ultramarines have taken a hit from the Tyranids or something. Just have them fucking eradicate Ultramar. Like,
yeah,
take
and he needs
out,
to have, like a proper,
it.
Like, one-on-one with a big old Chaos Primarch and absolutely just fucking kill them,
to
actually.
To be fair,
kill them.
He has... Oh, kill
Who?
Them.
No, I want he him has... to kill one. I want him to
okay.
lose it to the point where he
kills
actually
one.
Kills
yeah, yeah.
one.
Okay. Like, okay, so he has fought Mortarion and got his absolute ass kicked by Mortarion
sure.
to the point where he needed divine intervention to save him, which yep. was the Emperor and the Star Child or whatever, right? And then he also fought Magnus. I think he beat Magnus on the moon or something as well. And of course, right. he got wrecked by Fulgrim because he got his neck cut and went into stasis.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
But you're right. Do you know what would be really cool? If he, like, fucking took out Angron.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, whoa! Like, whoa!
It'd be cool
the
if
mathematician
it,
has balls. And, like, you
it'd
know,
be
like,
cool if he actually killed someone
something.
That matters, because Angron yeah. will just come back, right? I want him to be in a situation in my head where he's just, you know, he's got pissed off. He's thrown his entire legion at some force or planet or whatever it is of chaos guys yeah. that have been led by either a returning heretical Primarch or whatever it is. And I want someone like the Lion to be like, you know, like, Gulliman, no, you know, hold back, brother. We can save him. And him,
yeah,
he
yeah,
just
yeah,
got
yeah.
fucking lops his head clean off and just like,
yeah,
no,
yeah.
I'm done
yeah,
pulling
yeah, yeah.
punches. That's what I want him to do. Like, big waves in the lore. That's the sort of shit
yeah.
you need to be pushing. Talking about taking risks, do it, boys. Come on.
Do it.
It's like Game of
yeah,
Thrones.
I mean,
kill
yeah.
your darlings, mate. Just go out there and bring
yeah,
Perturabo back. And everyone's
still...
going to be like, Perturabo, amazing. Kill the fucker.
Dude, you get so
Whatever
many death threats. Like,
oh,
I,
yeah,
would even say, I would actually also send you a death threat live. I'd
well, I mean,
like,
I would
fuck,
too,
yeah.
because I actually want Perturabo
yeah,
to come
exactly.
back, as discussed previously. So, you know, whatever
the thing
it is.
As well, even if you killed characters, you could still
yeah.
have them as playable characters, because there's so
yeah,
much
sure.
time within like
yeah.
that thing. And it's the same with 30K, right? Like, people pay Ferris in like 30K.
Yeah.
Like, people pay him, right? And it's like, and it's fine, because it could just, it's just like, you know, whatever, it's just happening.
Yeah.
Like, it's, you've got to deal with it, it's happening. Like,
yeah.
you know, alternative universe or whatever. Like, you know, we've got the toys to the, all the, you know, all the stuff. Yeah, I mean, yeah, maybe give a demon Primarch a true death.
Yeah.
Because, like, they haven't had any severe casualties ever, have they? Because, like,
no.
the loyalists have, oh no, they've had one, technically Horus, right? But like,
yeah,
you
Horus,
know, the loyalists have had two. The loyalists have had two. They've had Ferris, and you know they've had Sanguinius.
Yes,
and a lot of like,
and
vanished Primarchs that we don't know.
Yeah, we've had right? a few sort of. What's his name? The Salamanders guy, sort of dead, but possibly
oh,
coming
good.
Back because he's an Eternal,
he's,
right?
He's still alive. He's still
oh,
alive.
What do they call it? It's not an Eternal. It's a
perpetual.
A perpetual. Yeah, so, you know,
Scrub.
That sort of stuff. Yeah, thank you. It's just my old man brain forgetting words. But no, I do really want them to start doing stuff like this, where they really just, you know, take those risks, as we discussed in this episode. I just think it'd be so much more exciting. You know, people would lose their yogurt over that. They really would.
Spelled.
I know I would. Yeah, just drop their yogurt everywhere. It'd be
yeah.
great. So make the Ultramarines great again. By making them just lose their shit, push it to the edge, get them proper grim dark, get them brutal, really lean into that aspect of them. And then I've got less, you know, with them.
And also, like, when you make your legion perfect at everything, it loses all definition, really.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and that's kind of the thing with the Ultramarines, and was the issue with, like, Matt Ward's time period with the Ultramarines, was, like, they were just perfect at everything. Which is ironic
yeah.
coming from a Dark Angels player, right? Because Dark Angels kind of have that same vibe, but the difference with the Ultramarines and the Dark Angels is, I don't think the Dark Angels, like, perceive them as being great at everything per se, right? They're
no.
good at, like, six very specific things.
Keeping
extremely
secrets.
Hardcore.
yeah, no.
I was kind of referring to the Hexagrammaton.
All right, okay, right, yeah.
And
sure.
the Heteroskinetica, like, right, which is the
That's
concept.
That's a word
of,
that
like,
is.
The,
I'm amazed you can say
that. Yeah, fuck you, see? I can surprise you on occasion. Which is like the six wings of the original Dark Angels, right, which was the foundations for, like,
yeah.
all of the Space Marines going forward, right? But,
sure.
like, the thing is, they min-max in those things, right? Yeah. Where like they are very specifically good at very specific things and not great at the other things. But the Ultramarines are just always good at everything all the time, and a captain can
just a bit,
kill a swarm like, lord with his bare hands, and it's like, get fucked, dude.
They're a bit plot armory, and I think that generally Primarchs are quite plot armory, and I know that they're you know, each Primarch is like an IP in itself. It kind of needs to be looked after and protected, you know, because everyone has a particular fan favorite, etc., etc. But it gets to a point where, you know, we're sort of moving forwards in the narrative, but not really going anywhere. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
So it would be nice for some big waves to happen that really kick things into motion. But we'll see what happens, won't we?
My northern wife would refer to that as bimbling through the lore. Like,
just yeah,
like,
it is bimbling. Like, that's exactly it. Yeah. Is bimbling.
Also, Killerman could get fucked because he smashed the lion sword on his knee like a dickhead. So, like, whatever. Just because all the lion did was, you know, commit hideous war crimes and nearly kill your human mum. It's fine. Like, it needed to be done. It's fine.
It did, yeah. I'll stab your sword.
Yeah, no, we need to talk about, like, who the best Primarch is at some point, because it's obviously the lion and everyone can suck my dick. Right. So there we go, the Ultramarines. How do you all feel about the Ultramarines? I'm sure there would be some Ultramarines fan out there. I know a mate of mine called Bolas is an Ultramarines fan. Just try and make us understand, because I think both of us have come at this perspective where they are a bit shit and they need a bit of a
just
revamp.
A bit flat, or sort of a bit safe. Safe is the word I would go with. They're a bit
so safe.
Yeah.
So safe. So
I had
safe.
To put one word to them.
But there we go. So should we attack our lore-based topic there, lad?
Let's do it.
See, I showed you this before. I gave you a little bit of a warning of this topic.
I haven't actually given it a second of thought.
Ah! And I was like, come on, mate. You need to have a think about this. This is a cool one. So, you know, the Warhammer universe is vast.
It is.
And... you know, you can't help but have a bit of, like, identification within the setting, right? And it's like, what would you ideally like to be? Like, what would you be? And this is a question to the community out there. Like, you have funny answers or whatever. What would you be in the 40K universe? What would you like to be? Because there's a question of, like, we'd all just be, like, shit guardsmen that would be murdered in 5 seconds. But what would you actually like to be in the Warhammer 40K universe? Is there anything that immediately comes to mind, Ed? Or shall I start this?
There are some things that come to mind, yeah. I mean, I think it would be very cool to be... there's a couple of characters in the lore that I think it would be really cool to be those characters. Yeah. One of which is one of my favorite Space Marine characters of all time, the Red Wake. Do you know his real name?
Wow, yeah. I don't know his real name, but he's the old Typharidon.
No, it's not Typhus.
It's not Typhus.
The Red Wake. No, sorry. What's his name? He is Tiberius. Sorry, there we go. Tiberius the Red Wake.
Are we talking about the monster that is?
Yeah, Carcharodon. Yeah, he is an absolute monster. He's in like this huge Terminator armor. I think they actually had to modify a set of Terminator armor
because he
was so big that he couldn't fit in it. Yeah, exactly.
Is it because you're a short king and you're like
there's this one bit from, I think it's from some story or something from the lore. I've seen it before discussed, where apparently this little like tech priest was mucking about in this room and in an armory or something like this, and he was walking around like trying to find something, and he sort of sees this massive statue and he walks around and he's like, whatever, and then the statue just moves and it's just Tiberius just like dumb. He's just fucking enormous. He just reminds me a bit of Bane, you know, from Batman.
The crazy thing about that old boy is he can move fucking fast as well, and he like shits
whoever. Like, and he's got these like two, are they called Thirst and Slake, I think his weapons
are.
Yeah,
his two lightning claws, right?
Yeah, they're like lightning claw chain fist power fists that are like combined in what, which is like the most badass combination of fucking weaponry you could possibly imagine. You could literally just tear anything apart with that.
I mean,
right?
Don't get me wrong, like you would shit yourself in the presence of any Space Marine, but I think you would just be like, I think the whole body would like take out, like the fear receptors would just flood mm-hmm. your brain and just be like, you're fucked. Just like, just, you know, just like,
yeah.
Like, it's almost like when the like lion is halfway eating you, right? And your brain just like releases all those endorphins.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're like, well, we're just going to let you have an easy transition now. There's you just like amazing... look at him and just go like, I'm fucking dead. Like, I'm done now.
You just see piss trickling down your legs. Yep.
Is he the chapter master of the Carcharodon?
I think he is, from memory. Sure. But there's this really cool piece of art where he's just sort of like, he just looks enormous. He's just walking towards the camera, and there's just this space marine with his arm hanging off, like in front of him, yeah. In the forefront.
Do you know what make him a Warhammer Plus exclusive mini.
Hang on, who is it that do all of the incredibly expensive painting? Stuff what are they called, the studio, it's a UK based one, I can't remember the name of now.
Siege
yeah, that's
Siege
it so
studio.
Siege
yep.
commission yeah, yeah, made yeah. an amazing Tiberius
I've seen this
mini that looks incredible, and it's this. Got all like the shark like mouth sort of, you know, stuff on
yeah,
the
yeah, because he's got like a
amazing.
sharky like helm like mouth
yeah,
coming
around
out
his head.
Of his helmet, right?
Yeah,
that's
amazing.
Like a megalodon. So
if I had to be a yeah, exactly, he is like a fucking megalodon. If I had to be like a space marine, I think I'd want to be someone like him, because he is just like, he just cuts
so
a red path through everything, and you could just see you just going brute mental, just chopping everyone to shreds. So that would be a fun one for me personally. What about you?
See, I went from this a totally different way, although I do have my power fantasy choice in a second, right?
Yeah.
If I'm going to be honest, I like to think of myself as a bit of a mentor and a bit of like you know...
Well, you are a teacher.
Exactly, you know?
Yeah.
So I would have loved to have been, in my Space Marine world, a Dark Angels chaplain.
Oh,
and like,
yeah.
and although they've got the other swing back of that, of, you know, interrogation and torture, so you know it is. But just in terms of like preaching the Emperor's name and like being that like weird sort of spiritual like guide for your fellow like Space Marines.
Also,
right?
You're like really calm 95% of the time, and then there's like this 5% of the time that you're just fucking mental, and you're like, brothers, it's time.
That's
and
kind just of going... the case for me in real life, where like yeah. I appear to be quite chill, but when I get pissy, I'm fucking
oh,
watch
mate.
The fuck out.
Watch out! It's like a bear.
yeah, it really is. It kind of is. But like, and I like that. And you can tell with a chaplain that they would be quite chill when they're discussing stuff. Of course, yeah. You can get some asshole chaplains.
Quite level headed.
Make sure yeah. you pray today. But but it should be your chaplain in your thing is to like. Be that emotional support network for like your mm-hmm. Space Marines around you, right? But as you yeah. say, when that 5% is like, burn the heretic, purge yeah. the unclean, right?
Yes.
And it's like,
yeah.
and I want to scream that. I do, I definitely yeah. do. Like, there's bullets flying and tinging off my helmet, be like, purge the heretic, like, man, like, right with my
crosses. This is giving me like.
Like
amazing vibes. Like, I saw this thing on Instagram recently of like this girl getting ready in the mirror, like, and she's sort of crying.
Yeah,
and
I've
it's,
seen this. I've
and
seen
it's
this.
Like me practicing my Space Marine voices in the other room as she's getting ready. She's just
yeah,
like,
yeah.
You're like,
I've never seen what the original like meme of that was from, but it's really
no,
funny.
I haven't. But it was good. Give me those vibes.
And I think that suits my personality as a chaplain.
Yeah.
I think I'd be a good chaplain.
I could see you with like a little smoke. What are those little dangly
yeah,
things
incense.
Called? Yeah, like an incense burner, like over the guitar yeah. before you teach. Oh.
Mate, I do that anyway. What are you chatting?
Yeah.
That's good. But there we go. It's all good. Okay, any other choices from you? And if something that's more reflective of your personality?
Yeah, so if I was going to go more reflective of me, then it would probably be somebody a bit more sneaky and tricky. So I'd probably end up being sort of, you know, to be honest with you, I'd probably end up one of the Drakkari. Let's face it, it's you know, someone like, not quite as cruel as Vect. Like, I probably wouldn't be quite
oh
as cruel
God.
As Vect, but I think I'd go, I'd be up there.
Wow.
I'd be like one of his,
I see you in a whole new light
lieutenants.
Now, buddy. I see you in a whole new light.
I would 100% black hole trick somebody, you know, like he did with the black hole in the briefcase kind of thing. You're
see,
like, oh, shit.
I also love the fact you're like shimmying up to the Lord, right? You're like, please,
yeah,
master,
yeah.
let me do your bidding for you.
I promise I won't betray you.
Give me extra.
I definitely will.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, so no, I'd probably be someone like that. I'd probably be, you know, like an Archon or something, you know.
See, I mean, that makes sense. I like that. I would think you'd have been like a member of the Administratum, like in your tank, like doing like calculations all day that like never get seen. But I think I like that. I would be playing both sides.
I'd be sort of Drakkari the pirate finger. Lord kind of guy.
The little 100%. Drakkari.
Yeah, yeah. And then you'd be thinking I'm on your ally, and then last second you'd be like just about to witness your victory, and I'd be like, my victory. Stab.
See what I did, Vex, for you. Yeah. I won this battle for you.
But why? None of it makes sense. I
know. Give me the slave girls and the party barge, please. I need my own party barge.
I literally just listened to Bar of Game of Thrones the other day. And it was a bit where Littlefinger was like revealing why he did this stuff. And I think Sansa was like, but that, you know, it doesn't, you're hurting yourself by doing this. And he's like, yeah, but no one fucking knows it's me, do they? Because if he does it too obvious,
you're such a troll.
That's what I'd do for sure. Yeah,
that's what I'd be, a psychotic murderer that turns
a psychotic lunatic who betrays all of his friends. Turns you into a chair.
Yeah, great.
You'd be a lampshade.
My eyes have got like all wide and like I'm shitting myself now. Yeah. There we go. See, so my power fantasy.
Oh, yeah. Go on.
If you're going to be big, fuck you, Ed. Go big. Oh. Lack of imagination with a big old Carcharodon.
Go on, then.
I would be a Titan Princeps.
Oh, yeah. But you're just in a tank. Like,
no, you're not, though, are you? You're in a second skin filled with the souls of other people that have been in that fucking thing for you. The high, quite literally.
Apparently it is incredible.
Yeah, exactly. Of being in a machine capable of ending worlds, or at the very least cities. And like
they really have to fight it, right? They have to fight the earth to lose their shit.
The psyche, yeah. Mm-hmm. And more than a few people have like lost their minds.
Because these are like god machines, as they call it, which is such a fucking cool name.
You know,
they want to just go berserk and just destroy everything. And the princesses are almost like they're just being that little border of humanity to keep it in check, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So I think it would be quite hard work. Yeah, for anyone that doesn't know, Princeps is essentially a Titan pilot, right? The main pilot. And you get, like, interfaced into it. Like, I don't know how you get, like, attached to it. And, like, obviously, you know, being a Princeps is a very rare honor. Like, only a handful of people can ever be a Princeps. And, like, when you get out of being inside a massive, like, machine gods, you kind of lose touch with reality around you a little bit.
I don't know if they even come out, right? I think they're just
they
do. In the Horus Heresy,
they're hanging out. You know, outside the machines and stuff. It's all good. And they become like micro celebrities and stuff. But
I imagine it's like when they're all plugged into the Matrix, you know, when that, like, they're kind of in like a pod with like all wires and cables.
I think they become a bit addicted to it, where they're like thinking about wanting to be back in the Titan when they're not in the Titan, if that makes sense. And I just want to be part of the machine again. And in particular, I would want to either pilot one of two extreme Titans. I would either go the smallest of the Titans, but the coolest looking, in my opinion, which is the old Warhound.
Warhounds are a classic.
I love the Warhound. Yeah,
the old
Titan.
Big head.
I love that head. It looks like a dog, obviously.
It does look like a dog head, yeah.
Awesome. It's
big
so
snout.
Cool. And it's just like roaming around and like, you know, picking up other Titans or stuff. Or if you're going to go balls to the wall, go like completely, which is the Warmonger Emperor Titan.
Wow.
Which is
okay.
the one with like
is that
the castle.
Big boy. Yes,
he
that
has, like,
one.
A fucking castle
that's
on his
so
back.
Cool with the castle Dude. On its back. That's such a so 40K. Stupid. That's Grimdurp. So I love it. It's fucking
so good.
Great.
But when you're like holding a city, like literally on your back.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
It's amazing,
and, like,
isn't it?
And you have a cannon the size of, like, you know, a moon.
I just got like this great mental image of all these people living in the city and, like, the Titans walking, they're all just like, oh, shit. Oh, you know, like, tea's going everywhere.
What I love about this, and I think it was, I can't remember whether it was Lutin did a video on this, where, like, you know, if you were a guardsman on the ground, you would never be able to see again from like the Titan shooting because like it would go through your eyelids and like scorch your eyes out.
Yeah,
right. And it's like, and this is the level that we're talking about. Or deafen you, that you can't hear anything. You're literally blind and deaf now. And like, do you know what I mean? As a result of that one weapon shooting, Yeah. It's just so beyond. It's just so beyond, man. Like, it's just crazy. Any other roles that you would like to be in the old Imperium? You did joke before this. You're like,
if you're going big, I'm going bigger. Yeah, I did. You say, Russ asked me this question at the beginning, and I just went corp starch because that's how I feel today. No, if you're going big, I'm going to go bigger. I would be Zeench, the whole ass god. Because I would be great as Zeench. I would be such a little bastard. I would be winding everyone up, tricking them left, right, and center.
Like, my least favorite Chaos Guard, ironically.
For those of you that haven't realized by now, like, mischief trolling is probably my biggest defining characteristic. So Zeench would be like being a god of, I know that he's not, it's like trickery and all kinds of bullshit that he does, right? So I would be doing a lot of that. I'd love it, you know. If I couldn't be Zeench, I'd be something like the Changeling or something, where you could just wind people up left and right.
Yeah, I can see you being a devotee of Zeench. It kind of strikes me as why you don't play any Zeench-y
army. Oh, I have a Zeench Demons army, but I just haven't painted it. Of course not.
So okay.
It will be painted one day. One day.
So not to put any guilt on your shoulders whatsoever, because I've never actually officially asked you this. Can you read off the armies that you have, please, Ed?
I don't know if I want to. I've got both sorts of knights, Imperial and Chaos, because I've done mine in a certain scheme that lets me run them as both. Yeah, I've got Necrons, I've got Gene Stealer Colts, I've got Space Marines / Dark Angels, let's put it that way. I've got Demons. I've now technically got Imperial Agents, so not really an army of them, but I've got a few of those. I've got Death Guard. I used to have Thousand Sons, but I sold them because I just realized I was never going to get them done. I used to have Orcs, but I sold them because, again, I just realized I was probably never going to get them done. And then I also have... Oh, hang on. I'm trying to think now. No Khorne, no Votann. What else is there?
No Tau.
I've got Grey Knights. No Tau either, yeah.
You have Grey Knights? Wow.
I have Grey Knights, yeah. I've got a few. I have a few armies. There's probably more that I'm forgetting there. But a lot of them are unpainted, which makes me very sad. This is also, don't forget, this is me collecting them since the age of 13, right? So it's I've just bought like 10 armies and then, you know, gone mental. I've spent a lot of time painting the Krons, as you know. So I am starting to branch out. And the Grey Knights were an army that I bought, which were mostly painted already. So I just need to finish a few off. I've got a lot of armies. What about you? How many have you got?
Can you guess what armies I have?
I know that you've got Dark Angels. I know that you've got Grey Knights. I know that you've got Death Guard. I'm trying to think if there's any others off the top of my head. I think those are the... Oh, Sisters.
Yeah.
Any more?
One Xenos.
Tau. That's it. Yeah.
That's my Xenos point. And that's it. And
good collection,
though. Thank you. Like, I I'm kind of done there. I don't really want to go any further.
Oh, I've also got CSM. Sorry.
that's the only other faction that I'm tempted by is... Is Word Bearers or Emperor's Children or whatever? Yeah. Maybe it's.
Oh, when Emperor's Children come out, that's gonna be like my wallet. I'm kind of waiting
because I want to see what they look like compared to like the Word Bearers and.
If
and
they do the models right, if they've got speakers for mouths, I'm probably gonna have to get them.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
And depending on like what CSM stuff they take over, because obviously if you look at the other factions, they sort of draw tanks and stuff from CSM. So if they get some of those, then I've already got some, which is great. And if they get a whole new thing, then I might just sell the CSM and get them. I don't know.
I would predict some sort of like sonic based tank as well.
Yeah.
Like
with massive like a sonic Hellbreed. Oh. Mm. There is actually an old sculpt of a Dreadnought.
Yeah,
that thing's like rocking all shit. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'd be imagining that'll be a thing, right? So
yeah, but no, that's I think those are some pretty good choices.
Yeah, man. Who would you be in the Warhammer 40k universe?
Yeah, leave us a comment. Let's
know. Corpstarch.
Corpstarch. Yeah, just comment Corpstarch below.
Yeah, Corpstarch. We need that on a t-shirt.
Yeah,
Corpstarch.
I am Corpstarch.
I am Corpstarch. It's like I am Spartacus. I am Corpstarch.
Yeah, I Cornstarch. Cornstarch. Corpstarch.
Corpstarch. God, you'd be lucky in the 40k universe. Fucking hell. Everyone have an awesome week. Thank you. Communicate with us. Let us know how I feel. Let us know how you felt about the Space Marine video. Like, I'm bracing my asshole for comments and stuff.
Nothing's come through yet, but we're
saying. No, I know. I'm a little bit like Gandalf. as Gandalf would say in Return of the King, like, it's the deep breath before the plunge, right?
But yes,
like,
it is. The quiet before the storm. I'll see.
The red beards are approaching. Neck beards, sorry. Red beards. Who the fuck are the red beards?
The Scottish.
Scott, I love you, Scots. Don't kill me, please.
Yeah.
But there we go. Enjoy.
It's been a pleasure.
As nice always. One, mate. Take care.
See you in the next one, guys. Ciao.
Ciao.